My name's Danny. I'm an alcoholic. Wow. And I hate it when, like, the sponsee says something really smart, you know what I mean? Because then you got to, like, sound like you know something, you know what I mean? Shit. All I know is if I don't take the first drink, pill, fix, or smoke any of that non-habit-forming gangster grass, I'll be all right. Yeah, that's all there is to it. You know? Wake up in the morning, say my prayers, and, you know, just walk through the day. I'm, like, truly, truly, truly blessed. I'm a perfect example that the program of Alcoholics Anonymous will, like, help anybody. Yeah. Hi, Mary. How you guys doing? I'm not like, you know, I remember when I first got clean and sober, my sponsor, this guy named Frank Russo. And I say that because he told me never to mention his name. He said, Danny, you know what? This program needs you. And I said, why? He said, to serve as a bad example. Yeah. I figured if the job's open, I'll take it. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, I went to meetings. Now, you have to understand, it wasn't like I didn't know anything about meetings, you know. I didn't know anything about living in a free society, let alone meetings, you know. And I got out of the pen August 23rd, 1969. I got clean and sober in the hole in 1968, August. Well, actually in May. I went to the whole Cinco de Mayo. Which everybody thinks means 5th of May. But in Mexican, it actually means get bail money. And I went to the hole. I went to the hole and bad things. I mean, just crazy. Just there was a riot because you're supposed to do something Cinco de Mayo. And we were in bad shape. Me, a guy named Ray Pacheco, and a guy named Henry Quijada. And like Danny said, I can mention their names. They're both killed in robberies. And I stayed in the hole from Cinco de Mayo until from May to August. And let me tell you something. There's like no worse feeling in the world than a body full of drugs and alcohol and a mind full of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the worst feeling in the world, you know. And especially, you know, when you know a little bit about this program, I don't care what you're doing. If you're drunk, if you're loaded, it doesn't matter. It, like, seeps into your brain, you know, and you can, I mean, can you imagine being loaded out of your mind and hallucinating you're in a meeting? You know? And it always happens. If you're in a bar, somebody is going to go into their pocket, pull out their keys, and they're going to have a chip. And it's like an arrow. And you become one of them sickening drunks that you hate. You start, I had 42 days. And you see you sickening drunk, you know. And God, I remember that. And I didn't just get, like, sober in, like, 1968 in the penitentiary, come out as, you know, because I tried this thing in 1965. And then again in 1968, 63, going backwards. And then I tried it again in 62, you know. Like I did everything else going backwards. And you know, the first time I ever got into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? I was, how old is he? I'm old, so what, man? The first time I walked into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous was in 1959. So, and that was funny because there was about 20 of us cruising down Van Nuys Boulevard. There was about 20, a whole carload. And we're like, boom, 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 bouncing down Van Nuys Boulevard. And we see this old house with a bunch of cars out in front. So we like, you know, hey, it's a party. We went to the trunk of the car to get the tools necessary to crash party. We got, everybody got bumper jacks, tire irons, pieces of pipe. I had a case of beer, 3 bottles of wine, a half pint of whiskey. I was already loaded on Red Devil, them reds. I mean, I was wasted on them. And I used to love them things. And every time I think about them, I start getting a headache. I think my brain gets afraid that, oh no, don't take those. You know, and we get beat up. You know? And so we, you know, we got the tools necessary. I got a bumper jack. I had 3 cases of beer. I had a case of beer, a bottle of wine, 3 bottles of wine, and a half pint of whiskey. And we kicked in the front because you can't like knock when you're crashing a party. You lock the door and call the cops. So we kicked in the door and everybody rushed in. Now, when you crash a party, there's only 2 greetings you can get. It's very simple on the streets. Either everybody rushes to the opposite side of the room, that means they're willing to throw the party in your honor. Or they rush to the side of the room that you're on, that means they're not. It's very simple. That's them bumper jacks, them tire irons. Them. We got the stupidest greeting in the world. We had all these people rushing us going, "Hi, I'm Bill." All had big old brown coffee cups. You know, hi. Standing there, holding a case of beer, 3 bottles of wine, a half pint of whiskey. And I busted everything right away. I pick up real quick, real sharp. I seen the baskets. Baskets mean church. Church means anything that's even remotely fun is a venial sin. If it's remotely fun, it's a venial sin. If it's a lot of fun, it's a mortal sin, you know? And it's kind of like a misdemeanor felony situation, you know? Anyway, I wanted to get out of there, you know? I said, let's get out of here, you know? But you guys did that like divide and conquer. You had all my troops in like little groups of 4, all spread out. You know? So when you crash a party, the last thing you do is spread out. You, like, stay in a group. And I'm trying to get out of it. This guy comes up, this old guy, and he introduces himself. And, yeah, I'm Danny. He says, Danny, why don't you put that stuff outside and join us? And I said, come on, man, are you crazy? I got penitentiaries to go to. He starts talking to me. He starts talking to me. This guy starts, man, I've been on the program. Man. I didn't care. I wanted out of there. You know what I mean? And I'm seeing 3 of him anyway. You know, I'm just wasted out of my mind. But he said one thing. He whispered the curse of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm like, God, 1959. I'm a kid. And this guy says, Danny, if you leave this program, you will die, go insane, or go to jail. Notice how quiet the room got right there. That was the voodoo of Alcoholics Anonymous. See? You just heard the curse. You should have did what I should have did. When that guy said, die, I should have went, rah, 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 I can't hear you. I didn't do it, and neither did any of you. You see? So, you're screwed. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, you're screwed. Because you know, yeah, old man, here, put in your neck, let me out of here, man. So we finally get out of there, and 3 weeks later, the cops kick in my front door. Boom, knock that thing off. You know, when they take it off the hinges, they're pissed. When the frame comes down, you're in trouble, you know. Wait, that's a lie. They kicked in my mom's front door. That's... I love my mom. 50 years later, sometimes I go over there and she goes, oh, my door's already fixed. She goes, ah, come on. Took it off the frame. Bang. I woke up with a pistol right here. Move and I'll blow you. And, you know, cops are cops. You know, cops are necessary, all that. But, you know, there's certain body language that they have. You know, there's just certain body language. You know? But when you see a cop and he's got that brand new T-shirt and he's a rookie cop, you know, and he's shaking. If you get like an old timer and he's like, all right, don't move, Trejo. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, you know, okay, all right, don't sweat it. But if he's shaking, you hear, die, go insane, go to jail. And your thought is, if I move, I'm not making it to jail. You know, if I move, my head is going to become this pillow, you know. And I went, boy, did I go to jail. I had some really serious charges. And the terrible, terrible part is when you've got some really serious charges and you've got to wait to get your booking slip to find out what they are, you see? That's scary. When they bring you, you're a juvenile, and they bring you in like, you know, shackled, and everybody's like, it's like, oh shit, you know, I must have really did something, you know, and I didn't even know what I did. And I had 2 counts of mayhem, scarring and disfiguring the body of another person, which is a very, very serious charge. And I know people talk about slips. Sometimes people talk about slips like they're cute. You know, I had a little slip on Friday. But thank God I made it to the Saturday morning. Ah, I get mad. I was like, God, I had a slip in 59. Got out 62. Another little slip, 62. I made it out pretty quick, 63. Another little slip, 63. Got out 65. Little slip in 65. Got out the end of 69. So slips weren't cute, you know. And they told me that. They said, Danny, if you leave this program, you will die, go insane, or go to jail. And I proved them right, you know. And I got tired of proving them right. And I watch all newcomers. I watch them. Let's see what happens, see. And people go out, you know. When they come back, I ask them. I want to know. I go, come here, dummy. Come here. What meetings were you going to just before you left? Now, if somebody tells me, Danny, you know what? I was going to 8-9 meetings a week, man. I had commitments at 3 meetings. I was secretary of one. I was into service. And I walked outside. God struck me drunk. If anybody, I'll give me the list of that meetings, I'm not going to them. See? I'm going to find out them suckers. They're worthless. No one's ever said that. Everybody always says, the meetings got too social. I love that one. I say, come here. I got two meetings for you, really unsocial. One's in Folsom, the other one's in San Quentin. Go to them, you son of a bitch. I love social shit. I love it. Do you understand? I love it. I love the people in the back. I love the people in the parking lot. And then I see another newcomer that just got back, and I'll, come here. What step were you working just before you out? Please let me know. In 37 years, no one has ever told me, Danny, I just finished my fourth step. And I was getting ready to share it with my sponsor. It's really into the book. Walked out, God struck me. No one has ever said that. Everybody always, I got a little away from the steps. Because if anybody ever does, if anybody has, I was really working step three. I'll say, later, I'll cross that one out. From now on, it goes 1, 2, 4, 1, 2, 4, 1, 2, 4. Nobody's ever said that. I have yet to see a person go out while they were working this program. I mean, the bottom line, that's 37 years. You know, and I mean, that doesn't mean nothing. I mean, sometimes my mind takes over and I start thinking, 37 years. Wow. I mean, I should be able to, like, do stuff. Really, I'm 36. Come on. Come on, I should be able to do that. Nothing. Huh? I got a sponsee that talked better than I did. Wow, he said some heavy stuff. See, wow, where'd you get that? You've been cheating on me? You got another sponsor? What the fuck? I swear to God, it's like this program going. The longer we stay, you know, the top position in Alcoholics Anonymous is chief servant. That's it. And people think really, you're a servant. That's it. And thank God that we can do that. Because do you imagine what would happen if, like, they said, okay, we're going to nominate a president. Me. Come on. Don't lie, everyone. Me. Let's all be presidents, you see? Well, then let's fight. See? We're not good. That's why they say we stay out of outside issues, no political. That's why they got those traditions and stuff. Life has got, this program has given me, I cheat myself when I say, it's given me everything I wanted. This thing's given me stuff I didn't even know I wanted. I've gotten, my life is a dream. I feel guilty sometimes. I'm scared to death that somebody's going to come by and go, hey, Danny, wake up. Come on, we're late to chow. Oh. I knew it was too good to be true. Man. You know what I mean? Here, let me put these blues on. I'll be right there, man. See? It's been unbelievable. I come out of the penitentiary in 1969, and I wasn't a very nice person, you know. Not at all. And I kept having these problems in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'd be getting in fights, and I'd be getting in arguments, and I'd be yelling at people, and I'd be, you know, especially in movie theaters, people cutting lines. Yeah. You get killed in prison for cutting in line. I'm yelling at a 12-year, hey, you little punk, I'll be cutting in line. Yeah, kill you, you little. Not this, wow. And I go, at the time, this guy, Sam Harding, was my sponsor. And I'm thinking, I go to him, I say, Sam, what is wrong with me, man? I got in a fight with this guy, man. He said, why'd you get in a fight? Sam, you gotta tell you, but he was like, big old dude, hillbilly, right? Now he's had that shit. Oh, yeah, crap. And I says, what is wrong with me, man? He said, well, what happened? I says, this guy disrespected me. What'd he do? He looked at me. Now, I'm standing in front of Sam. And he's, well, Danny, First of all, people can't help looking at you. You look like a maniac. Secondly, you're not a nice person. And your problem is triple. Because you're not only not a nice person, you don't even look like a nice person. It's not all your fault. You have been trained not to be a nice person. So Sam had did about 15 years flat in Vacaville. And he always said, I got in an argument, and I killed one gentleman, and I crippled the other. And I had a hell of an argument. And that's what he went to the joint for. He murdered, killed a guy, and crippled another one. And he said, you know, you got to put that exterior, and you got to be bad, and you got to be mean, and you're sharp. You know how when people look at you, you immediately got something. If you're looking for your mother, she's back there. I'm done with her. Go ahead and pick her up. You know, I know how to do all that real quick. You know. So he says, now what you got to start doing, Danny, you got to start doing things for other people and not expect any kind of reward. And he said it like a hillbilly, right? Reward. If you'd have said it like a normal, you know, reward, I could have forgot it. But how in the hell are you going to forget reward? So I start running around trying to be Johnny like good guy, you know, and it just wasn't working. And I'm in Reseda Park one day, and there's this lady, and she had two dogs. She had a Doberman Pinscher and a Boxer. And the Dobie got loose, and it's right here. And the leash was right there, you know. And I said, well, I'll get her dog, you know. And so I went, hey, Brad, you want me to grab your dog? And I don't know how that lady did it, but she picked up that Boxer, ran by me, grabbed that Dobie on the fly, took it, threw him in her car, and took off. Bitch. Yeah. I was trying to help her. Right? And I went to Sam, and I was going to talk to Sam. I said, I told him what happened, because I knew he was going to say, well, Danny, you know, there's a lot of women in women's lib that don't like men helping them. I knew he was going to say something like that. I'm standing there without a shirt. I got a tattoo this big on my chest. You know? He goes, well, look at you. You still look like a maniac. I wouldn't want you touching my dogs either, damn it. I said, well, what am I going to do? He says, now you got to start doing things for other people and not even let them know. I mean, now I can't even get a thank you. You know, before I was like, I ain't way to work the program. Nothing, you know what I mean? So I'm starting to try to, like, be a better, you know, Johnny be good guy or something, you know. So, and I'm standing out my mom's. And at the time in my neighborhood, every day I would stand outside in my front yard, and I'd have a double jigger of a whiskey shot glass. There's the double one, the big one. And I'd have it with ice and Coke so that as my old friends passed by, they would think I was drinking. Because I couldn't say, I don't know. Yeah. No, I can't use no dope. I'm testing. Oh, you just real kissing. So I couldn't say, I'm not drinking. You see, I'm clean. And so I'm standing in my mom's front yard, and I'm looking down the street, and there's this old lady. This is in the 70s. This is before they had them roll away kind of trash can. I see her trying to pull her trash can out, so I just went over there to help her. And she started screaming, "Ay, no me robas! Shut up, lady! Damn it! You know, throw this trash all over your yard." I put her trash out, and it gave me an idea. I just went to like the five or six old people in my neighborhood, and I just took out all the trash. Just took out their trash. Took it out, put it out. And that was like how I started trying to become a better person. They all knew. They wouldn't come out. They'd all like just look at me through the thing, you know, because they're all scared to death of me. And but everything good that has ever happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. Everything. Everything good that has ever happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. The first sport coat I ever got that wasn't, you know, penitentiary dress out, wasn't one like one from the joint. The first sport coat I ever got, an old man that I was taking out his trash. My mom said, "Mijo, look, that old man brought you a sport coat." It was the first one. Everything that everything good that has happened to me. Me and Danny, God, man, I don't, a little while later, we started a gardening business. And you got to understand, we were nuts. We didn't even have a lawnmower, I think, at first. "Hi, would you like us to mow your lawn? We'll cut the trim." Blah, blah. "Yeah, sure." "Okay, you have a lawnmower?" "Yeah." "We can." And if they had a lawnmower, we'd immediately go to the next. "You want us to mow your lawn? We got a lawnmower." And we just started mowing lawns, man. Just help. Some lawns we do for free. "Okay, just do them for free. Okay. Just mow them." Got a business, boom, boom, boom. Grew up a business. Great. It did great. Everything good that has ever happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. In 1985, I'd been clean about 17 years, I think. And I got a call at about 11 o'clock at night. At first, I had spoken to Cocaine's Anonymous meeting. And in 1985, Cocaine's Anonymous had just started. You know, started in 84, I think. But in 85, it's like all they had in there was like therapists and doctors and those people that oh, might need rehab. Start a program quick. I mean, it was funny, you know. I walked into this meeting, and it looked like some kind of convention, like gold convention. Everybody had 8 chains, 9 chains, beautiful. I wanted so bad. I'm the speaker. I'm supposed to be spiritual. I wanted so bad to go, "Shut up, everybody, get down. Give me that shit." I did. I said, "Help me God. Just give me that shit." I would have left it all outside, but just now, don't wear that shit to meeting. God, I spoke in this meeting and I talked about prison and you're seeing therapy. And this kid comes up to me, this little kid, man, some, you know, BF, I don't even know, he comes up and he says, "Gee, Danny, I really identified with you." Now you gotta understand, this kid could not have been from a neighborhood near my neighborhood. This kid could have never been in any prison that I was ever in. And I was ever in every prison in the state of California. He could not have been. We'd have changed his name. He had to be something exotic. Aduina. Something nice. Yeah. But it was like that simple. And he wants my phone number. What? And he's talking about how he's hit the bottom. And I'm thinking, Cocaine's Anonymous is pretty cool. This kid is talking to me, waving his hand. And I'm looking at a $3,000 Rolex watch. This is 1985. "Shut up, give me this. Now you're on the bottom, you little bitch." I didn't do that. I gave him my number. And I'm thinking, wow. And he's telling me about my dad. He's got 8 days. I remember that. He says, "I got 8 days. My dad gave me my car back." His dad was like, "It must have been wealthy. He rented me an apartment, and I'm doing okay." Like, Jesus. Why'd you give me a dad like that? And I gave my phone number. 100 days later, at about 11 o'clock at night, I get a phone call. And it starts off with like, I'm living by myself in 85. I'm like, I used to get like weird phone calls. Like, do you want me to get naked? I didn't know what kind of call it was. You know, so he's like, he says, Daddy, I have 108 days, and my dad just got me a job, and I'm good. I feel like using. He said, he feels like from 1969 to 1985, I never got a call. Somebody said, I think I'm gonna drink. No, never. I get those calls. Hey. I'm in the bar. You know, this is, I get those calls. Hey, hold on. Man, I never, I'm telling you, 1969 to 19, I got somebody that like really is like, wow, this kid like wants to like not use. Yeah. I love Danny. Hey, I use today, I'm not going to use no more. Yeah. Okay, listen. This kid was trying not to use. He, like one of the people that called me before. And I said, well, come on over. You know, come on over. Like, hang out, man. I'll put on some coffee. He goes, I'm working, you know. And just once, I once said, well, if sobriety is really important, you'll forget about your job. I said, well, what do you want to do? You know, like them old timers say, you know. So. But I said, what do you want to do? He said, and then he's got the, he was so cute. I remember him. He goes, well, can you come down here? I want to say that I said, why me? But I just got the address and I went down. And I thought it was going to be like a regular kind of job because he gave me the warehouse district downtown L.A. So I figured he worked in a warehouse. So I was just going to sit outside, wait to break. He was going to come out 12 o'clock, usually break, and he's going to come out 12 o'clock at night, and we're going to drink coffee, smoke cigarettes. Then he was going to go back in. Everybody's going to think we're gay. And, you know. And it wasn't. I walked on to a movie set of a movie called Runaway Train. I walk onto this thing, right? And I'm like, wow, it was so cute because everybody, like from Brentwood and Westwood and Bel Air, they were all dressed like convicts. And they all had like these real cute fake tattoos. And I kept going, oh, I'm sorry, it's Smears. And pissing everybody. Everybody had a teardrop. I go, sorry. And I'm so, it's like I just kept like just having fun, you know. And this guy comes up and says, hey, do you want to be in this movie? And I said, what do I got to do? He says, do you want to be an extra? I said, an extra what? He says, can you act like a convict? So I'll give it a shot. I'm thinking this is a joke. I take off, I put on those blue pants, and then blue pants, state blue pants, they just seem to fit me. I put them on and I just look good in them. I don't know why. Then they give me a blue shirt and I took off my shirt. The minute I took off my shirt, I got that big tattoo. And my tattoo doesn't say, I love America, my mother, you know, hooray for Iowa. You look at that tattoo, oh, he's been in prison. And this guy, Joel, immediately comes over. He says, hey, you're Danny Trejo. I says, yeah. He says, Danny, I saw you win the lightweight and the welterweight title up at San Quentin. I says, you're Eddie Bunker. Yeah. I says, I know you, Eddie. We started talking. And he says, you want a job? I said, I got one. They're going to give me $50 for acting like a convict. He says, no, I mean a real job. We need somebody to train one of the actors how to box. I said, what's it pay? He says, $320 a day. How bad do you want this guy beat up? $320, they want me to sock somebody, you know what I mean? And I would have done it for the 50, but... And then I would have wrote about it and went and told Sam I was expecting the reward. And so I start training an actor named Eric Roberts how to box. And it was funny because Eddie said, "You got to be careful, Danny, because this actor might hit you." I said, "For $320, give him a stick. Are you crazy? Shit. I've been beat up for free and fun, you know what I mean?" And so, I started training Eric Roberts how to box. And Eric seemed to do whatever I told him to do because he was scared of me. And the director just came over and gave me a job. It was like, really? He said, "You'll be in this movie." And everybody started, he's not SAG. Make him SAG. And then, right when he said that, everybody just all of a sudden, from "Hey, you," I became a Mr. Trejo. Mr. Trejo, would you like some coffee? Yeah. Two cups. Some sugar and cream. And bring some of those little Pilates things, the biscuits. And I'd say, it didn't matter. I could say anything. So funny. "Do we have any raisins?" And somebody, "Oh, yeah." All of a sudden, there'd be somebody with raisins. I didn't even like raisins. I just wanted to know if they had them. You know? They had people like assigned to me just to like do stuff, you know. And it was like, wow, this is cool. I worked for 3 weeks on a daily, if any of you know what that means. You know. I made more money. The government took out more money in taxes than I ever made in a robbery. Oh. Damn. You know. If you're new, let me tell you something. Everything good that is going to happen to you is going to happen as a direct result of helping someone else. I've seen people try to write themselves well. Doesn't work. I've seen people try to read themselves well. Doesn't work. It's a combination. Reading, writing, and working with others. And that's what we have to do. You know, so I had just kind of dedicated my life to just helping other people. And everything good that has ever happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. Somewhere along the line, I became an honest person. And it was funny, because I got tested one time. I was in a market, and I was in John's Market. That's like the Mexican version of Vaughn's, you know. The Mexicans buy them and just take off the V and put a J. Because I love it because you can still see the V outline. You know, and I'm in Vaughn's. And I'm just, how much time is that?
20 minutes.
Oh, okay. And so, is anybody talking after me?
No.
Okay. So, I'm in John's Market. And this lady's got these two bratty kids, and they're like sitting in the basket. One of them's in the little. She's got a purse, and the kid knocks over her purse, and her wallet fell out, and she kept going, and the wallet hid, and it was like a deck of cards. It's just like about 5 20s, it's like that, and they're like new 20s, and they don't usually split. They just like. And I, you know, so it just old habit. I immediately covered it, you know, just. I can't help it. Don't you do that? I mean, I still walk into markets and go, "God, would this be easy? You know, this would be simple." And so I walk in and I covered this and I'm looking down and it's so beautiful to watch my guys start fighting. My guys in my head. My first guy's like, "Boy, did we score? Oh no, we got it. We got some money." I got about $3,000 in my pocket. I'm looking at this lady's 520s and oh no, we scored. Shh, wait. Then the stupid AA guy's like, "Oh yeah, that's what kind of punk you are. Go ahead. Take the food out of these kids' mouth, because that's what kind of trick you are, bitch." You are. And the longer you stay clean and sober, the stronger these guys get. They start calling you all kind of names, Jimmy. And it's, well, what does that mean? And it's like, I couldn't even bend down. I know myself. I couldn't even bend down and pick this up and hand it to her. I went, hey, lady, is that yours? And she comes running over and picks up the, oh, God, hugging me. And I'm thinking, lady, please get away from me, because I will. I'm not that honest. She, like, took off, you know. But 5 years later, I produced a movie called Animal Factory. Had Willem Dafoe, Seymour Cassell, Mickey Rourke, Eddie Furlong, myself, Eddie Bunker. It's a really good movie about prison, naturally. It's something I know well. And we're sitting at this table, and the producers, the funding guy says, okay, Danny, you know what? We're going to give you $3.5 million. I don't know what that is. All right, I'm figuring I don't have a big enough wallet. Yes. Give me a bag. You know, let me tell you something. You know, all I could think about was a stupid lady's 520s. I swear to God, I'm sitting here. They're talking about handing me $3.5 million. I'm thinking about this stupid lady in John's Market and her dumb 20s. And I'm trying to concentrate. Because, you know, you're handing somebody $3 million. You want them to be focused. I'm like... And the last thing you want is them talking to themselves. Okay, God, I get the point. You got to be honest. All right. Yeah. That's the last thing you want anybody to do when you're handing them $3.5 million. And I understand. Do you understand? I understand. The better person I am, the better this program works. Now, it'll work for you even if you're... Okay, I'm not saying bad words today. You know. But it doesn't matter. But you look at the people that are of service. You look at the people that are working these, they're like, got that sickening, happy smile. We're having fun. Maybe not while they're dealing with us. You know what I mean? But afterwards, they got this long, just beautiful time, you know? This program will not only save your life, it will save your family's life. Everything good that has ever happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. I got a son, 18. I got a daughter, 16. 3 years ago, they're both of them. They were living with their mom, and they're both doing that math. Boy, just running crazy. And I'm speaking in front of thousands of kids to helping them. And I had a speaking engagement in front of like a whole high school. Okay. And I started walking out, and I couldn't do it. I turned around and walked back. I said, you know, I can't. Cheese Puss is a friend of mine. I said, I can't do it, Cheese Puss. He says, what is wrong with you? He said, you know what? I'm going to sit up here and talk to these kids. They might find mine in an alley. And it was killing me. I mean, I was dying. These are my babies, yeah? And Cheese Puss says, hey, you know, why don't you let God, you know, take care of your kids like he's supposed to? You know? In fact, I got the saying. And I used to say it to Danny. You know, said, did you pray for him this morning? And he, yeah. I said, well, then you've done all you can do. Yeah. And anyway, I went out and I talked. And then that night I went to a meeting. I go to a meeting. And in this meeting, I'm standing there, and I asked to participate, and I just, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And afterward, this kid comes up to me, Johnny, right? Little thug. I mean, if we had a poster child for thugs, this kid would make it, you know? New breed of thugs, you know? Bald head, got his eye pierced, his nose pierced, got... his lower lip pierced with a little knife hanging here. Got his tongue pierced, got both chichis pierced, and he's wearing a tank top. And he comes up and says, hey, won't you be my sponsor? My mind immediately says, I'm gonna turn this kid into a little Republican. I got my kid living with me, right? My son, Gilbert, he's running amok. And I tell him, don't use in the house. And, you know, and he's waking up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm either going to, you know, kill him or give him a rule, don't use in the house. And one day me and Johnny are going to speak up in Oxnard. I'm talking and he's riding with me. So I just stop off my house, let me take a quick shower. I run upstairs and I've been trying to get my kid to go to meetings for a year and a half. He's sitting there with Johnny talking and he comes up to the bathroom. I've just got out of the shower, I got a towel, and he's, Dad, yeah. Hey, can I go to a meeting with Johnny? I almost said, I'm a lot cooler than him. He's not boring. I said, yeah, go ahead. And I rode up to Oxnard by myself. I was just thinking, wow, I remember that's how it works. Everything good that has ever happened in my life has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. And I was trying to turn Johnny into a Republican. And it was amazing. My son right now, is, I think he's got about 112 days. My daughter's got about 110, I think. About 110 days, something like that. They both, I rented an apartment in Marina Del Rey, and I just moved them in. And I said, look, I'm not your sponsor, I'm your dad. You got two rules. Don't die, and don't drink or use. And that's it. I'm the worst parent in the world. Yeah. My daughter's therapist says, Mr. Trejo, your parenting skills suck. But whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Because I haven't seen your daughter clean since she was 13. And all I'm doing is making sure she's got a ride to a meeting. That little girl has got she's got a chauffeur. Dad! We just left this meeting. We don't have a ride to coffee. There's five of us. Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll wait right here. We'll pick them. Whoa, drop them off at coffee. What time you want me to pick you up? It doesn't matter. I don't care. I know I'm a suck parent. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to tough love. Can't do it. Sorry. Can't do it. Sometimes, folks, you just got to be the chauffeur. Sometimes you just got to say, my job will be to get you to meetings because I know the answer's here. I've watched it work over and over and over again. Only problem, when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, sometimes it's real hard to get here. So I told my daughter, as long as it has to do with Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, pay for nothing. I'll pay for it all. And then she came up with, hey, Iggy Pop's having a convention in New Orleans. Okay. And then, you know, my son, wait, she's going, I want to go to New Orleans. So I sent them both to New Orleans. Rented them rooms. They went crazy. Run up some kind of crazy bill. I don't even know what it is. I just paid it. It wasn't drugs. And they came home. You know what they were talking about? Wait a minute. Dad, there's a convention next year. There's going to be a convention next year. Well, it's going to be in Los Angeles. We're getting sweets. Cool. Glad I can afford it. See? So if you're new, go to a lot of meetings. If you're new, please try to take these two words out of your vocabulary. I know. Take that out of your, don't use it. Don't use it. Every time you say the word, I know, it's like, hit yourself. See? Because that's newcomer's favorite word. I know. I know. I know that already. I've been in Folsom. I don't know what that means, but I used to say it all the time. So if you're new, go to a lot of meetings. If you're new, go to a lot of meetings. God bless you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.